we just heard a story from Scott, who was bitten by a funnel web spider and didn't go to the doctor, didn't go to the hospital, and he's still suffering as a result of that. So I thought, there was an article I saw the other day about the funnel web spiders, because of the rain, out and about, so I thought we would have a chat to somebody from the Australian Reptile Park. Kane Christensen joins me this afternoon. Hello, Kane.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good, mate. Thank you for your time.
No problems at all.
There was a story in one of the papers last week about funnel web spiders, and they're awake, they're around, and they're scary things. This rain that we've had over the weekend, I mean, I imagine that's made the environmental conditions for funnel webs coming out even worse. Is that right?
Yeah, this time of year, always, once it's a bit of rain, the males are going to be out and about with the warmer weather. A bit of rain, the males start looking for the female. What we'll also get, I know on the Central Coast where we are, we've had quite a deluge in the last couple of days, that can also flood the females out of burrow sometimes as well. So You might not just be getting the male funnel webs, you might also be lucky enough to encounter the females.
And what's the difference between the two in reference to the damage they can do for us?
Well, to be honest, the females are a lot larger, but what is unknown by a lot of people is even though the females are a lot larger, it's actually the male that's a lot more toxic.
Right.
The male that's out and about wandering around looking for that female partner is the one that's more toxic of the two. Every single recorded fatality from a funnel web has been the male Sydney funnel web.
Can I ask you, not the exact date, but I mean, is it a while since we've lost someone as a result of a funnel web spider?
Yeah, there's actually been zero fatalities from funnel webs since the anti-venoms was introduced in 1981.
That's good news.
Yeah, so that's what we do here at the Reptile Park. We actually extract venom from male funnel web spiders to be sent down to the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories to produce that anti-venom for any funnel web bites that occur Australia-wide.
Right. And what for someone that hasn't seen a picture of a funnel web spider, I mean, how do you tell the difference between a funnel web spider and something else? Is there a particular, description that you can give of a funnel web spider that would make people aware? Oh, hang on, don't touch that. It's a funnel web.
Yeah, if it's as most people might know, is funnel webs generally a shiny black carapace. That's the head part of the spider, and a very dark black to a plum sort of blue colour abdomen. That's the big round bit of the back of the spider. They're ground-dwelling spiders. One of the big ones that people commonly mistake funnel webs for are the common black house spiders you find around your windows, brick walls, around your doors, around your house. They've got a tube web that everyone would think would be a funnel web.
Right.
But funnel web spiders generally are ground-dwelling burrowing species, even though there are a couple of tree-dwelling funnel webs, but they spend all their life in the boreholes of the trees, of the Melaleucas down around here, and you also get them up in the Tala Woods in northern New South Wales.
Okay, so we get them on the coast, we get them up northern New South Wales. How far do you get them inland?
So basically with the Sydney funnel web, you're going to get them out to about Liskow.
Right.
The Sydney funnel web range also extends further north to about the Hunter River in Newcastle and down to Nowra, the Shoalhaven River. Once you go out of that range, you will get other species. There are species out near Mudgee as well. And funnel web spiders, which most people don't understand, is over 40 species described at this point in time. They can be anywhere from halfway up through Queensland, right down the east coast of Australia, through Victoria, South Australia, and even Tasmania has funnel webs.
The article I read, Kane, it said if don't leave your shoes outside. If you do, make sure you shake your shoes
Definitely
out.
Check them.
Yeah.
Because the male's out and about wandering, he is the one, remember, that he's more toxic. As the night turns into day, he's going to have to find somewhere to hide up for the day. In direct sunlight, funnel webs won't last too long at all.
Right.
They'll dry out very, very quickly. They're very primitive spiders. That's why the moisture in the air keeps them out and about longer at night. Now, if that male funnel web's walking around looking for a female, can't find the burrow, during the night he's going to have to hide somewhere. So they can go under a bit of a log or a rock or something and just web themselves up. But if there is a shoe there, it's again, to a spider like that, that's a perfect little hiding opportunity, and just to wait out the day until the next night.
If you have an area of drought, and I'm thinking, you mentioned the Hunter River, I'm thinking of the Hunter area where there's, invariably it's been pretty dry the last couple of weeks. Are you still likely to get funnel web spiders in that area there, a little further inland? Because, I mean, Lithgow's quite a way inland.
Yeah, correct. I had, if you know the Hunter area, I had a funnel web handed in a couple of weeks ago from Cessnock, which is pretty west,
as
far as Newcastle goes. Yes, so yeah, they will go in the dry areas. Because they're a burrowing species, the area underneath is quite cool, but funnel webs generally like cool, moist areas rather than dry, deserty areas. So if you're in that one area, it might not be over the whole range, but there will be little pockets along riverbanks and creek lines where it's a little bit sloping ground, a little bit moist, and that's where they like to reside.
What do you do if you get bit by a funnel web, Kay?
The number one thing to do is try not to panic. Remember that there has been no fatality since the antivenom has been released. Now, you want to put compression bandage over that area. Now, I know a lot of people aren't carrying a bandage with them if they're out in the garden, things like that. Take your shirt off, whatever you're wearing at that time, and wrap it around the whole limb. Get firm pressure applied to the whole affected limb, and then try and stay as still as possible. For me, if I'm at work, I'm not going to walk back to another room to go do that. I'll sit down on the spot, and we'll call for an ambulance straight there. You don't want to be walking around. As you walk, you're transporting venom through your lymphatic system. It's operated by muscle movement, so you want to stay as still as possible with pressure over as much of that limb as possible.
We go to a lot of country people of an afternoon. What do you do if you're in the country and you're a long way from the hospital?
Yeah, it's exactly the same for venomous snake bite in Australia. By applying that compression bandage, I would suggest for anyone in Australia, to be honest, to be carrying a compression bandage. Not only does it work for funnel webs, it works for any venomous snake bite in Australia as well. So even though you might be in the country and unlikely to come across a funnel web in your everyday workings around your house, if you do come across a venomous snake, it's exactly the same first aid technique. So it's two birds with one stone. But you really want to try and stay as still as possible and try and get someone to call for help or go and get help and bring it to you rather than you try and walk anywhere.
Okay. What if you're in the country and, you know, it takes a while for an ambulance to get to you. Are you best to get someone to get you into a car and you fly off to hospital in the car?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't be the one suggesting to drive if you are bitten, even with a bandage on it. There are neurotoxic venoms on the funnel web and also the venomous snakes, which will affect your nervous system. You don't really want to be behind the wheel of a vehicle if that's the case. But if you can get a car to the person, get them in a car, and then, yeah, definitely get them to hospital as soon as possible. By putting that bandage on, what you're effectively doing is restricting the flow of that venom around your body, and it's giving you a longer amount of time to be able to get to hospital to receive that antivenom.
So if you get,
time is of the essence.
If you get bitten on the hand, what would you bandage?
So if I was bitten on the back of my hand, first thing, take off rings, watches, bracelets, your hand will swell up.
Right.
You go around the bite site a couple of times, then the way we'd always remember it is around, down, and up. Around the bite site a couple of times, firm pressure, about as firm as you would for a sprain. Go down towards the extremity of the limb, so either fingertips, you know, or toes if you're bitten on the foot, and then all the way back up the limb, past the elbow, right up to the shoulder if you can. You're just putting pressure on that lymphatic system.
And what if you don't know if it's a funnel web?
You know, pretty quickly you should. If it's a large, dark-coloured, ground-dwelling spider, you know, it's not something you're going to sleep through, put it that way. You're not going to be waking up in the morning and not know what happened.
Okay.
Very large, powerful fangs. You'll definitely feel them if they do bite. But what I would say, if something bit me in the bush and I threw it down on the ground, it was big black or big dark brown, I would treat it as a funnel web bite because there's another spider called the mouse spider. Looks very, very similar to a funnel web. It's also extremely toxic as well.
All right,
if
Kane.
It is just a trapdoor or a wolf spider, which are large and dark-coloured as well, you go to hospital, you'll sit there for a few hours under observation.
I've just got to go to the news, Kane. I'm sorry, that's my news commitment. I have got to go to the news. So.